So welcome. My name's Tom Evans, and this is another in this series of the Moments of Light podcast, where I'm speaking with authors, writers, thinkers, artists and creatives about how they've had light bulb moments, and most importantly, done something about it. So today I'm absolutely thrilled to be talking with Phil Birch. Hi, Phil.
Hi, Tom.
And it must be, was it about a year ago that we met, because we've not actually met in person yet, have we?
No, not in person. We're digitally connected, aren't we?
We're digitally connected. I feel like I know you already, but you very kindly shared with me a pre-draft copy of Ethiconomics, which is a book all about changing the way the world does business. So fantastic word. It ought to be in the Oxford English Dictionary, you know, because they bring out another about 150 words or so every year, don't they? So I think that should be in there.
Moot point, Tommy, if I may interrupt, because I've got two sort of objectives, visions, whatever, with this word, with this book and project, if you like. One of them is to get it taken and accepted in the OED. So that's actually on the agenda, to try and get the word generally accepted. So, a moot point for you to touch there, to be honest.
Fantastic. Well, we're connected in more ways than we possibly think, then, obviously, aren't we? Not just digitally. So what does it mean? What's that? What's the definition of that word, Ethiconomics?
Well, if I go through the process of how it was kind of formulated, it might explain that. I wanted to basically do something to change the way that we do business. That was the whole driving intent. And having worked in corporate world for 20 years and at senior level for the last 10, it became increasingly sort of incongruent for me to repeat those processes and practices and toe that line and make those calls. Not necessarily because I didn't understand the requirement in corporate business, but to me, the intent behind them became increasingly kind of distant from my own personal values. So that caused me to leave corporate world and do things slightly differently. As I was doing my own consultancy, it continued to come back to me, the imbalance within business, the testosterone-filled high levels, high power, antlers, clashing stag mentality. But I also understood that why there was a value to that and a benefit of that having that, let's say, competitive edge. So all of this kind of personal journey that I took myself through various practices over the last 10 years and learnings, I wanted to bring that into the business environment. And as much as I don't like to label things, obviously ethics is a hot subject at the moment. So there was an element of ethics sticking around in my head, and there's an element of finance and business and commerce. And to be honest, it was an absolute light bulb moment that brought the book together, because I had all this content sort of swirling around and this concept that was sort of morphing around itself. And literally one of those days walking a dog, not really thinking about anything, and the word popped into my head. And as soon as the word popped in, and justified it as I do very quickly and analysed it and went ethics and economics. Yes, does it work? Does it ring? I knew inside, if you like, that was what it should be. And as soon as that fell into place, then all of the other kind of topics and structures started to sort of fall into place very quickly afterwards. So the format of it was next, which was the A to Z, like a dictionary. As soon as I got that, all the topics themselves started to come to me. And all I had to do was provide this or create this thread between the business activities and some of the life principles that I was trying to bring together. And so as soon as I got the word, it almost all fell into place.
So that was a true light bulb moment then? So
an absolute definitive one, yeah.
Wow, that's fantastic. And walking the dog, which is something that's very dear to my heart as well. Anytime I get stuck when I'm writing, the dogs seem to know it. They come up and nudge my mouse hand and off we go. And it just popped straight in. But I'm just going to dive into the book. I've got the copy in front of me right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to dive into the bees, because they're also very, I think, one very pertinent and one very specific one, which people don't really think about. And that's the breath and how important the breath is when it comes to inspiration and creativity. And I noticed that you've got a word in there which I use, and one of the techniques I I teach people, which is pranayama.
Absolutely. I mean, and that's a great example of some of the more abstract elements you perhaps wouldn't expect to find in the book.
Mm-hmm.
So I have more prosaic stuff in there on KPIs and key performance indicators and business qualitative stuff. But to me, the other side of it is you take yourself to work and you are your own USP, irrespective of the job and the function, the role that you do.
Mm-hmm.
So from that angle of getting the best out of yourself, or at least feeling the best within yourself whilst you're doing what you're doing, was quite important. And posture and stuff like that is how we actually behave and act in the environment. And breathing's an essential one. And don't get me wrong, I don't preach any of this stuff. I do find myself slumped over the laptop, shallow breathing,
mm-hmm.
you know, et cetera, like everybody else, I'm sure does. But what I try and do is just be aware of it, recognize it, and then try and just do something about it. And that breathing time, as well as activity, I found it's a fantastic way to rejuvenate physiologically. But don't get me wrong, I wouldn't like to think I'm a perfect disciple of this stuff. I do have to stop myself sometimes and go, literally, wait a minute, take a breath.
Well, me neither. And you know, but at least you do something like 10 really good diaphragmatic breaths every day before you start. Or the other thing I found is I've observed. Is, you know, when people are really getting on fantastically well, one of the things that happens, which is kind of, it's a byproduct, but also something that's happening, is everyone's breathing in sync. Nobody's panting, no one's getting anxious, and the breathing tends to be in sync. So it's a great thing to do when you're doing a one-day workshop, to get everyone breathing in the afternoon, you know, when everyone's a bit tired after lunch and they're eating too many carbohydrates and that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And again, even if you're in obviously there's all sorts of tools and techniques behind this, but essentially I think these essential truths come true, which if you're in a meeting and a one-to-one, then I call it like a resonance. You have to find a mutual resonance, and your physical posture and your breathing particularly are a very high indicator of how in sync or not you are. Typical salesman overselling. Whereas if you just slow down and actually listen a little bit to what's being said, then you can find that level of resonance. And breathing is very key to that.
Fantastic. So we've all got to breathe anyway, haven't we? So we might as well do it
but properly, yeah.
Absolutely. So tell me, you know, one of the things that happens in when we get these light bulbs, we get the idea in one go. Mm-hmm. And then you didn't get the idea, but you got the A to Z format, which is fantastic, because I think this is a great book that if you just sort of read a letter a week or something like that, then within 26 weeks, you've got a transformed mindset and a transformed business, which is fantastic.
That was exactly the reason for doing it that way, was it's people can find a topic in it, you can pick it up and put it down, you can read it at your own pace in your own way. And because it's aimed at kind of you as an individual, there's no, I'm going to say, a solution to it. But by the time you're finished, you can't help but have a lot more information and maybe some stuff that you want to think about differently. So it will have changed you to some degree. I would like to think it changes you in ways that you can consider things, let's say, more expansively. But if you finish all of what we've written down and don't think anything different about what you and your world and everything is, then I've kind of missed the point, really. Something in there should trigger something. That's the hope, anyway.
Fantastic. And how did writing the book, the process of writing the book and publishing the book, change you?
The writing changed me significantly because it became really apparent to me and obvious that that's when I'm in my flow, as they say, because when I'm doing that kind of writing bit, that's when time goes, that's when quickly, that's when everything else disappears, that's when there's no noise in the background, no chatter, that's when everything seems to flow and coordinate. So from that perspective, that was a fantastic thing to feel when you're doing something that you care so much about and it's all kind of flowing. From the mechanics of the process, when I'd actually finished the book and done my own proofread, to me, it was done. There was a bit of catharsis in there, I'm sure. And to me, had closed a loop on it. So then going through the publication process and the design and the reread and the proofread and the reread, I found that quite tedious because I'd already kind of psychologically moved on.
And it sounds like you've moved on to the next project as well. What's happening next?
Well, I'm going to... The next book is a follow-on from the introduction, and it's basically a practical guide. It's like applied ethiconomics. I've been coaching and consulting to corporates and small businesses and entrepreneurs on business issues for 10 to 12 years now. And the model that I basically take to my clients, I've integrated the ethiconomics principles into now so that I can discuss the whys as well as the whats with the businesses. And you tend to find that flushes up different perspectives on intent and what is important and how to get some objectives into the business operation. So that's where the ethiconomics comes into the business strategy. And the next book is basically a workbook on applied ethiconomics on how anyone picking this business up, this business of creating their own business, mm-hmm. can implement their own values and ethics into that business strategy without thinking it's too heavy or abstract or corporate. And it's an applied practical workbook that goes through chapter by chapter that you can write things in it and you can go back to it. And it's a workbook guide as well as a way to get ethics and values into that strategy.
But you say it's like applied ethiconomics, right? And I know some of the university courses that people go on are a bit dubious in terms of their suitability to generate a vocation. So... Mm-hmm. I suppose there's some really good examples. So I suppose media studies might be a good example of one. So can you imagine that this would actually, in time, maybe in 5 or 10 years, actually be something someone could study?
Well, yeah, I would. That would be, even without trying to sound too grandiose, only be part of the plan. There's several kind of intense visions behind this project, if you like. And one of them is to make it practical and eminently useful and valuable so that it gets taken up as something that anyone can do. It's an ideology made up of loads of different parts, and each part is relevant to the individual and their case in the way that they apply them, but it is practical. So I don't want it to be seen as some abstract concept that was a nice book and stuff. I want it to be useful and valuable to people. And the next book is one step towards that. I'm also talking to people about creating a business simulation game with the ethiconomics rules built into the algorithms so that you not only get a growing and sustainable business just by profits, you get a growing and sustainable business by meeting all of the what I consider to be the essential business partners. And that's certainly profits is one, but you've got your shareholders, but you've also got your clients, your supply chain, your community, your environment, and your staff. Now, one of my kind of just imagine scenarios is if we all operated businesses that actually got a rating or a ranking or a score or whatever you're going to call it, based on satisfying those six stakeholders, not just the shareholders, then imagine what a different business world we'd be in. So taking these principles into business is the first step of getting it understood and known and applied in very practical, valuable ways. And that in itself, I would like to encourage businesses from investors down to look at the businesses they're working in from a completely different perspective, a more holistic perspective. So of course you need profits, but you also need to have engaged and motivated and creative staff. You also have to be able to support and interact with your community. You should also be thinking ecologically about what your business is doing within its local and bigger environment. And if all of those were given the same merit as profits and the returns to shareholders, then just imagine what a different world that would be.
Wonderful. And would you say then that, you know, the current financial crisis that we seem to be in is actually a result of the lack of ethics?
Absolutely. I'll put it this way. In my opinion, yes. I would listen to the arguments otherwise. And it's very easy to make something complicated more complicated, or something even simple more complicated. And at the end of the day, I still believe, and I'll be corrected, that every business decision is made by people. No matter how big the organization, no matter how complex the decisions, it's people who make those decisions. So in that respect, it comes down to personal decision as to why these systems and structures have been put in place, protected, defended, abused, and therefore caused, let's say, the majority, if not all, of the problems that we've got at the moment. It's easy to throw greed at it, although it would appear that that seems to be a motivating factor. But it's not just about what you do, it's about the way that you do it and then what you do with the returns that you get. So I don't want to be too simplistic and say it's just greedy bankers, because then you get into the argument of why should they be paid that much and why should they get so much bonuses, and it starts to get very messy. But at the end of the day, if those people who are making these systematic and institutional decisions had a different perspective other than their own self-profit, then it would be a significantly different situation that we're in.
Well, I've just leafed all the way to the back of your book, and I've just picked up something which I thought might be quite interesting to bring into that whole scenario, which is the Z. And I hope you don't mind me revealing to the people listening that the Z of your book, but it talks about zest for life and zeal. And that's got to be something which is kind of not even factored into their day job.
Well, I think this is it. I mean, one of the reasons that I started to recognize the kind of lack of resonance or the disruption that I felt in corporate world was because I stopped enjoying it. Now, as soon as that happened to me, that for me was the particular catalyst to go, wait a minute, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Then as I stepped further and further back, I realized there was most of my energy and my focus was being put into a value system, i.e. what that particular business wanted me to do and what they were prepared to pay me for doing it, that I no longer associated with. And so because it was going against my grain, because it was questioning deep down in me my values and my ethics and my morals, the fact that I started not to like it was just a signal for me to sort of step back and have a look. And I stepped back and went, I don't want to do that anymore. Wow. And the next step for me was, how can I help other people that maybe feel the same way, and going, just because I want to be successful, does it mean I have to behave like this?
So you it sounds like then you're now living with a zest for life. You know, you're very congruent in the work that you're doing, the way you're writing, the way you're communicating, the way that you're broadcasting.
I'm very much trying to. I'm very aware of it. Mm-hmm. I'm by no means perfect. I'm a work in progress myself. There are days where I wake up and I'm not as, you know, I don't jump out of bed and do handsprings. However, I do know there's a massive congruence within me now, because I'm not doing the things I was doing in the way I was doing them. There's a massive comfort in me that says, this is a valid message, and this is, you've got to try and do this, deliver this message, not for an ego, not for the brand, but because it seems to be the right thing to do. I don't know if it's right for anyone else, but it's very much right for me, and it resonates with me very strongly. So I kind of know I'm on the right track. And that, I find that very, very motivating, very satisfying. But don't get me wrong, there are days that, you know, it's raining and you know, some days I don't walk about with a big smile on my face, but I am aware of it, and I am grateful for the things that are around me.
Great. So what do you say in general then, you're a happier Phil?
Oh, without a doubt, I'm more content, I'm more balanced, I'm more centred, I'm more congruent. Does it mean I have good days and bad days? Yeah, of course it does, we're just human. But I feel that I'm on the right track for me at this time. And it might not be going as quick as I'd like some days, but it won't knock me off this track.
Brilliant. So is it fair to say that the only way is ethics?
Absolutely, the only way is ethics. And as much as it can be kind of, televisualized that way, I think that these little sentences sometimes carry a lot of weight and power. And if we thought of ethics and all this other, the stuff that goes with it, it's just morals. But unfortunately, if you say the only way is morals, it hasn't got quite the same ring to it.
It doesn't, indeed. It sounds great. Well, listen, Phil, it's been fantastic of you to share your wisdom with us. Thanks so much for taking the time out to do that. And can we regroup again in a few months' time when the new book's out and the workbook's there and talk about the implications of that and how it all works?
Absolutely, be a pleasure. Honour and a pleasure, and thank you for your time too, Tom. Been a
great
pleasure.
Stuff, fantastic. And so, big virtual man hug down the TCPIP lines.
Absolutely, and back at you. You too. Wonderful.
And one of these days, we're going to meet in person. And
we definitely will. I take more than a little bit of responsibility for that because I'm kind of yes, no, or I'm not. But definitely meet, and all the very best with everything you're doing too.
Fabulous. Take care, Phil. Speak
soon.
Take care,
Tom. God bless.
Bye.
Bye-bye.